Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our radio show is also a new media digital offering. We're online every night. We have a live video cast of our show, as well as the following day, a podcast of our show, as well as each day, a classic podcast. We draw from the archives of our show, 5,000 hours and 15 years of material. And I was just thinking about the 13, 14 years of material, and create a classic podcast for you, as well as the archives themselves, which you are more than welcome to access. We have a video archive. We have a 1 year and a half archive of our KFI Los Angeles Saturday night show and the video cast that we did there. All kinds of other goodies at philhendryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass for a month. You can get one for 3 months. Excuse me, you get one for a month, 6 months, or a year. And it's well worth it, man. There's an enormous archive of material for you to pick through. Now, if you were watching us, if you have a backstage pass and you're watching Phil TV, because that's what we call our video cast each night, and we do a lot on Phil TV. We don't just do our show, but we also have a Saturday night movie where we play a lot of film noir. Sometimes we'll jump on here with football games, all kinds of weird stuff. We also run during the regular season the Milwaukee Lions audio on Phil TV. But if you were with us during the newscast, we were talking, Dan was telling me about a Domino's pizza in England that is, and I don't know whether this is a gag or not, but they have a supposed test program. Like right now, you know, I could be,
well, you think they're kidding?
I don't know. It could be just a gag for the TV commercial. But there's a Domino's pizza in England that was or is trying out the delivery of pizzas using remote-controlled helicopters, the little toy remote-controlled helicopters. Now, you just heard Don Clendenin say that they had tried that here in the United States. He had a franchise for that, and somebody, some smartass, mounted a machine gun. I don't buy it, but...
Well, then it opened up.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all, that a machine gun opened up on the guy when he opened his door for his pizza. But the point is, if you look at Phil TV right now on screen, if you had a backstage pass, you'd see we're rolling this video. And this is the Domino's Pizza in England. And the guy is loading the pizza into a package that is in a little hammock underneath this helicopter. It's like a big clamp. And the helicopter takes off, one of those toy helicopters. The guy is in the Domino's parking lot with the remote. And I don't know the range on these things, but it's flying. They've got cameras mounted on this. And it's flying over, what do they call that, Margaret?
That's the commons.
Yeah, it's flying over these parks, beautiful green space in England, flying over a canal now, it's going over a river. I mean, what, you know, what's the range on this thing?
Well, probably about, maybe about to 2 miles.
2 miles, now it's flying, and it's flying, and it's flying, and it's got this pizza in the big pizza warming thing, you know, that big sleeve they put it in. And there's a guy standing out in front of his house, and the pizza has landed, and the guy pulled it out of the thing, and now he has his pizza, and the chopper is taking off and flying away. Now, you know, my question, of course, is this for real, or?
Well, if it is for real, then probably Pizza Hut and Little Caesar better get going.
You know, I like Little Caesar. I mean, I don't eat Little Caesar.
I love Little Caesar's the best there is.
Well, I don't think, if I was running Pizza Hut, I wouldn't sweat the small stuff just yet.
Yeah, I think if this is an actual program, do you believe this?
I don't believe, I think it's a joke. I think they did it for the TV commercial.
What do you say, it's a joke? This is about one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah, why is it a joke?
Because I don't think it's workable. I don't know how many people you have to hire so that you have this network of little tiny helicopters that are flying all over the place.
Well, wait, you could have like one. Okay.
Well, what's the point?
The point is this. You got guys that are out delivering pizzas. If you have a delivery that's close by, for instance, where it just doesn't make sense to get a guy in a car, you could use the chopper that way. If you have someone, in other words, you could decide which deliveries warrant using the miniature helicopter.
Yeah, well, that might be embarrassing, man.
What do you mean?
I'd just be embarrassed.
Why would you be embarrassed?
You gotta go, better use a little miniature helicopter. I mean, how do you know?
Well, I agree with Robert. I think you look like a horse's, as Frank likes to say, you look like the south end of a horse in a northward-facing barn. Okay?
Well...
Now, wait, I'm not done. You look like the south end of a horse. Would you get my husband on the phone, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute, Margaret. I want to finish this story.
Yes, you're going to finish your story. Frank says that you look like the back end of a horse.
Yeah?
Well, that's what he says about you, but I'm sorry, Phil. I'm trying to be funny.
That's very funny.
No, Frank says that you look like the back... Frank, is that you?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Margaret, dear.
Oh, hello, Margaret.
Frank, I want to ask you, what is
The slit.
No, not the slit. What's the slit? The slim.
What is the saying, Frank, that you use?
When you talk about the south end of a horse.
Oh, that's, if we see a guy acting like a horse's ass, and she did something to make her look like a horse's ass, you know, then we'll say to the guy, you look like the ass of a horse facing north that has decided to back out of the barn and then go south. Okay?
Well, yes, but what is the actual saying?
That's the saying.
You're saying that that's it?
Yes, you look like the south end of a horse. Wait a minute. You look like the ass on the south end of a horse facing north, but backing out of the barn.
Well, so in other words, you look like the ass end of a horse facing north and going south.
No, I didn't say that, did I? See, I knew he'd butcher it. I didn't say that, did I? Did I, Margaret?
Well, what did you say?
I'll say it again. When a guy butchers it alive in the office, let's say she was supposed to print off some portfolio, or I don't know what we do in our office anymore. I'm so old. I have no idea what goes on in the law offices of Gray, Fitzgibbon, and Brown. All I know is the money continues to pour in. And I thank God daily because my wife, boy, does he like to spend it.
Frank, that is not fair, dear.
I'm sorry, but that's... So, in keeping with that, Margaret, I would say that your husband, Frank, meaning me, she looks like... The ass on the south end of a horse facing north but backing out of the barn.
All right, if that's what you say, dear.
Yeah, that's what I say. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Is that it?
That's fine, Frank. Thanks so much, sir.
All right, young man.
Okay.
All right, so in other words, you'd look... Well, I don't even know what it pertains to.
Yeah, thank you. We wasted a lot of time on that.
Well, what is with you? Thank you. I was trying to get it right.
I know what it is, Miss Gray. You look like the ass on a south end of a horse that was looking forward to it.
That was looking forward to it.
No, bud. You look like the ass on the south end of a horse facing north but backing out of the barn.
No, stable.
I think it was stable.
What difference does it make? It's the stupidest slogan I've ever heard.
Well, listen to you. You're all sleep. You know why? Because you want to say slut.
No, I don't, Margaret.
Yes, you do. You've been... I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, come on, will you?
I'm sorry.
Well, she's been feeling that way for a while.
What are you talking about?
Well, she thinks you want to call her a slut.
Why do I want to call her a slut? I've never called her a slut.
Girl, I don't know. It almost came out to you. That's the slut, you know.
No, I said slogan. I was saying slogan.
I know that, and he knows that. And you know that. And she might even know that. But we don't know it.
Sure, okay, Robert. Thanks very much.
What?
You know what, man? On any given day, I don't know who is on my side around here. And by that, I don't mean that you guys mean me wrong. I just mean who's sane. On any given day, who took their medicine? That's the guy that I want to talk to. That's the guy that I have faith in. On any given day, I don't know which one of you guys is ready to just go off, man.
What are you talking about, me?
Yes, I'm talking about you. I know, and she knows, and you know, and I know, but we don't know. Man.
Phil, take it easy, man. Maybe you need to lay down and get a cup of coffee.
Sure, bud. That's what you want to do to relax. Lay down and get a cup of coffee. Okay.
Well, I mean, like a cup of coffee, but a Xanax.
Xanax?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'll get a cup of coffee and a Xanax.
What's that you're drinking right there?
Well, let's see, bud. It says, Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Is the coast clear?
Yeah, come on out, Margaret. I'm still here. We'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Of all the umpire-related stories that we've seen this year, here's one that's really odd. We'll tell you about it. Jordan Baker, a rookie umpire, who's getting noticed for tossing his gum into the outfield after every half inning. What's that about? We'll find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You
the
look
Phil
like
Hendry Show.
The ass end of a horse that backed out of his...
I don't know if you can build yourself. Welcome back here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And now we've gotten into a kick here, just very briefly, of looking at these remote controlled helicopters, you know.
Well, what are you thinking, Phil? Are you thinking that you're going to... What Don Clendenin said, Don Clendenin obviously is not a very bright man.
I wouldn't say that, but he looks at things differently. Don Clendenin is a guy that runs the sports book. He's a guy that... He had this weird twisted logic. He said that if enough people, I know what it was, he's going to lose money and then he's going to get better at what he does and then he's going to start to beat everybody and nobody will want to come to his place. I just think that while logically he may be thinking, you know, it may not be that crazy, the application, the actual end result is going to be disastrous.
So why are you watching this kid? Ladies and gentlemen, Phil is watching a boy here, which is a little disturbing.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well,
what is that supposed to mean?
Well, what are you watching this boy for?
He's got a helicopter.
We see the helicopter there.
Oh, all right. I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
God, what did you think I did?
Well, thought you about like tuned it on and said, hey, there's a boy.
Yeah, you're lingering over a boy channel.
Oh, is that what I'm doing? Okay, you know.
Look, don't get all upset.
I am upset.
Phil, I apologize. I didn't know why you were lingering over this boy.
I wasn't lingering. I'm looking at that helicopter the kid's got. You sick...
Oh, my God, you were going to call me a slut again.
No, I was not. I was not. But I'll tell you something right now. It was equally as bad.
Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
No toilet paper.
What?
No toilet paper.
All right, well, then I'll just use the pages of this book.
Wait a minute. That's one of the notebooks, man.
Show notes!
Too late.
She didn't use the pages of our show notes, did she?
Is that the show notes?
There's a date here and something about hour one. I guess so.
Please don't wipe with those.
My God, you're letting everyone in on my business, aren't you?
Okay, I apologize, Margaret.
No, there's no line you won't cross.
When she comes back, would you please, could you just leave? Don't use that notebook, okay?
Oh, there you go. Number two. That's the second time you've gone over the line.
All right, let me get to the story here. Of all the umpire-related stories we've seen this year.
Here's your book. Whew. God, you guys are really, you're funny. I'm in there laughing. I'm laughing so hard, it's coming out in buckets.
All right, God.
Jeez.
Well, it's a natural act. How dare you look at me like I'm a pig? In any event, I'm laughing so hard, you're worried about your show notes, and you think I'm wiping my you-know-what with them? Woo! That's high comedy.
Well, I gotta admit, that is high comedy.
Yeah, that's high, all right.
And I don't know, I don't think that's the drug reference...
All right, so here's an umpire. His name is Jordan Baker. He's a rookie umpire who's getting noticed for tossing his gum into the outfield after every half inning. If he's umping like he was Tuesday night in the St. Louis Cardinal-Arizona Diamondback game, you'll see wads of gum behind him. The announcers of Tuesday's game noticed as much and talked about it on the air. That wasn't the only reason Baker was noticed. He also threw Diamondback bench coach Alan Trammell out of the game after an argument about a stolen base call. For what it's worth, it looks like Baker blew the call. But back to the gum throwing, you'll hear it described by TV announcers as Baker's tradition and a salute to baseball. If you ask a group of fans in San Diego, however, they'll tell you something different. A blogger from San Diego-centered sports site Lobshots took notice of Baker and his gum throwing last weekend. What followed is well documented on Lobshots, including the blogger giving Baker an earful because the ump was a disgrace to the game and disrespected the players, the field, the umpires, everywhere. Here's Baker tossing gum and getting booed by San Diego fans. So this dude gets booed by fans because he's tossing gum?
Well, they probably booed him on account of the bad call.
Yeah, through our bad coach.
Alan Trammell, who's a former Padre player, and I guess now is one of the coaches, he tossed him out of the recent game, the Diamondback Padre game. Was that right? Oh, Cardinals and Arizona Diamondbacks. It was Alan Trammell was a Padre. I don't know if he ever played for Arizona. So he's tossing gum. He's getting booed. The gum graveyard is what they're... I'm laughing, you know.
Why would you... It's a very disgusting habit.
What is, chewing gum?
Yes, very disgusting. I think chewing gum is as vile and disgusting. And the other thing about chewing gum, it spreads disease more than any... You know, I really mean this. You know how AIDS was spread in Africa? By the bite of a monkey. You know that.
I thought there was people having sex with it.
No, man. Well, maybe, but it was an infection. It was a virus carried by a monkey.
Yes. And before we start feeling special because we don't come from Africa...
My answer to come from Africa, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm saying because there isn't, let's say, Robert, a disease that is epidemic here like that. However, throwing gum, sticking gum under tables, gum anywhere... is as destructive and infectious a source of disease. And I'm talking about oozing sore disease. I am talking, you know, Phil...
Oh, all right, okay, I get it.
I mean, really disgusting disease. The source of that, gum. And it is more of a source than any ape or baboon that you want to discuss.
What do you mean by ape?
I mean, that's the animal that spreads the AIDS, or did have the autoimmune deficiency disease. Okay? But?
Yeah, okay.
Well, you putting gum under a table, you putting gum in an outfield or whatever they're worried about, spreads disease, spreads destructive, maddening, fever dream disease more than any chimpanzee or apish creature. In other words, gum is the ape of American disease. It is the chimpanzee.
Talk about chimpanzee.
Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret believes in pronouncing chimpanzee, which what she calls...
Excuse me, you don't have to interpret for me. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret Gray.
It's the French.
Excuse me. Hello, everyone, I'll start again. I'm Margaret Gray. Chimpanzee is the French pronunciation. Thank you. And now back to the Phil Hendry Show. There. You happy?
No, I'm not. I could have done it myself without you giving yourself an intro. The fact is, I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about.
What don't they know?
Chimpanzee.
Well, now they do. Woo.
Yeah, all right. So a chimpanzee is like gum.
I didn't say that, Bud. God, you are. Bud, you're a monument to dumb. You really are. You're like one of the faces on the Mount Rushmore of dumb ass. The other three, I would say, well, I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, it's okay. Me and Robert.
And you?
No, not me, you dirty...
Watch it.
If there was a Mount Rushmore of stupid, I'd say Bud, Phil Hendry, Robert Leonard, and that two-bit little punk. I hate him, and...
Which, who's that?
Talking about R.C.?
Yeah, there you go. That R.C. Collins, that two-bit chiseling punk.
What do you mean, chiseling?
Don't worry about it.
What do you mean chiseling? I don't understand that.
Don't worry. Get him on the phone. Do you have his number?
Yeah, I call up the Bradley Military Academy and everything. Probably wake up a person.
I don't care, but I don't even understand what you just said, but it sounded like something that would come from the mouth of a chimpanzee. Now call them.
Oh, we're getting... Okay, so thank you very much for running the show for me tonight. I had things I want to do.
No, you didn't, Phil. You're scrambling like you do every night. Call him, will you?
I'm not scrambling. I've got story. We haven't even gotten through... I'm going to do my gum story. Thank you very much.
That's fine.
So anyway, they're giving this guy, after Lobshots posted all this bullcrap, it says it received an email response from Baker's wife defending his gum throwing. The blog said it would post her retort, but it hasn't yet. It has, however, kept an eye on Baker. Why don't you guys at Lobshots, why don't you guys relax there at Lobshots, okay? You talk about You talk about a phony baloney controversy. So the guy throws his gum. Big wow. But you know what? It's given you guys in lob shots a little bit of love, a little bit of press. Print what the guy's wife said. You know, butch up, man up. Man up, dog. Man up.
That's a man-sized hit, dog.
That's right. Take a man-sized hit, dog. Man up and print the guy's wife's response. And then pull your skirts up around your knees and, you know, try to avoid the gum. Ooh. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
R.C.
Collins, please. Subject. Bye.
Phil.
I'll Henry. Hold. Welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show. R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy. Got him on the line, and I don't know, Margaret, you were talking, you know, not a very flattering way. R.C., you there?
Yes, sir, right here.
You want to?
R.C., hi, it's Margaret Gray.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I was telling Phil that if there was a Mount Rushmore of dumbass, it would be Phil, it would be Bud, it would be Robert, and it would be you.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I believe that you were premature in making an estimation about it.
Well, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, yeah, I do.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, just if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Henry, I just want to ask Ms. Gray one thing. We're still working on it, and we're still working on it, and we're still doing it. And so, do you still think that I would qualify on a dumbass? Or what?
Yes, I do. And what he's working on, Phil, I got a call from his father. There were damages, and they were in four figures, to a car shed at Bradley Military Academy. Apparently, this pizza delivery idea, in terms of using remote-controlled aircraft, is all over the world in various stages. These fools at Bradley Military Academy set fire to a shed where there were three automobiles used by the commandant at Bradley, Commandant Wireman, one of them a Humvee, the other's a Mercedes sedan.
Miss Gray?
Hold on, please. The shed burned to the ground, two of the three cars completely destroyed, one of the cars, which was a Thunderbird, 1957 or 58 Thunderbird.
Oh, boy.
That was partially destroyed. And the people that were responding to the fire got the shock of their lives. And I understand one of the people had to be hospitalized with cardiac arrhythmia, R.C.
Ma'am, you have to tell the whole story on that.
I'm going to. They had been using a crash test figure, one of these crash test dummies, and I don't know if you've seen them lately, but they are very realistic. And they'd been using one for their a driver's ed. When they put the fire out, they found this figure burnt beyond recognition. And my God, I asked Commandant Wireman, and he said that he prayed to God.
But it was a dummy.
Yeah, ma'am, it was a rubber dummy.
It doesn't matter. Do you understand this? He prayed to God. He prayed to the Virgin Mary. He prayed to our Virgin Mary. And Harvey, and you know that Commandant Wireman's Jewish.
Yes, I do.
Well, do you realize how far you have to sink if you're Jewish to...
Ma'am, I don't think that's... What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
He's a Jewish man. I don't know if he's observant, but he starts praying to the Virgin Mary. He has sunk to the pits of hell.
Well, let's not start talking that way, okay, about people's religion, if you don't mind.
I'm not talking about Judaism. I'm talking about Catholicism.
Well, isn't that just fine? I don't like that at all. Now, R.C., I've heard a whole lot here, and I don't understand a word of it. And I don't understand, how did you burn this down?
I just explained it to you, Phil.
No, you didn't explain nothing, Ms. Gray. We're trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
Well, we were trying out an experimentation on the RX-161, and this is the remote control helicopter that we're going to use for the pizza delivery that had been contracted by Domino Pizza in England. But we feel, as an adjunct to the United States military, the Military Academy at Bradley, we ought to be able to do it lickety-split, you know, no problem at all. And so we were putting the final touches on it, and we do feel we have a prototype that can deliver up to 15 kilometers away, Mr. Henry. Now hear me and hear me good here. We can deliver...
And this is bullcrap, by the way.
Wait a minute, Margaret.
Is it bullcrap? Have you tried to do it?
All I know is you killed a man.
We didn't kill, it was a dummy.
It was a dummy, Margaret.
Yes, I know it was a dummy, but the reaction was this. It was as if you'd burned a man alive.
Ma'am, it was a dummy, it was a rubber dummy.
You burned...
Oh, will you relax, Margaret?
You know what, go straight to the horned one. Go to the horned one and do his bidding... sexually.
Where are you going?
Where do you think?
No more toilet paper.
I don't care. I've got the show notes.
Let the show notes go.
So anyway, Mr. Henry.
That is just unbelievable.
Don't talk behind my back.
Anyway, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we had prototype RX-451. It took off this morning at 0715 hours. Okay, Mr. Henry, that's 7:15.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah. It took off at 0715 hours, and it flew in a southerly trajectory. Now, at that time, we had a pizza. It was one of the large, because we'd gotten it off the menu of the Domino's. It was large. It was an extra crispy crust with a thick level of cheese, peppers, onions, bologna.
Bologna.
Or not bologna, I mean, peppers, cheese, thick gorgonzola slices. I think that there was salami, and...
Don't have no salami either, man. You talking about pepperoni?
That's it, yeah, pepperoni, and then lettuce, and,
I mean lettuce, man.
What kind of a pizza is this?
Right off the menu at Domino's. What are you talking about, homeboy?
And don't call me homeboy.
Well, it was.
You all know what you got, man. You got a big, you got an extra large pizza with pepper. You got onion. You got pepperoni. And what else?
And lettuce and.
Don't get lettuce.
Well, okay, alfalfa.
They don't have alfalfa sprouts. You probably got. Did you get mushrooms?
Yeah, that's it. Mushrooms.
Man.
And we put that into what we call jaws, which are the retractable clutches of the chopper. It took off at 0715 hours. And well, no, by this time it was now 0730 hours because we had to load the pizza up. And then it took off and it flew in a southerly trajectory to Rich Mitchell's house, Cadet Mitchell, because his mom was home and she was going to be waiting for it, right? Well, just as we were getting over the field house near where the car barn is, we lost power and it plummeted. We have the recording here from this afternoon, if I could.
They're out! No!
What was that?
That was Commandant Wireman.
Commandant Wireman was where?
He was out near the barn, and the microphone on the camera picked it up. So, back to the drawing board, you know.
So you almost killed, and why did the barn catch on fire?
We did have fuel on board.
But it's a battery-operated aircraft, right?
Yes, sir, it is, but we wanted to have actual fuel drums, just to make it look cool.
Well, why did you have to put fuel in it?
Because we're not retarded? What are you talking about?
Don't have to put fuel in it, man, if you talk on electricity and battery and everything.
Yeah, well, we put fuel in it, okay? Because we're not, like, being babies about it. We wanted it to be realistic and everything.
Well, it was realistic, all right. You destroyed two cars. And what about Commandant Wireman?
Well, he saw it coming down, and he dove into a ditch, just as it exploded.
That's unbelievable. All right, so so everybody's fine. You burned a thing down.
Yes, and this is why, Phil, I'm back now.
Yeah, so I can see.
Uh-huh. This is why I put R.C. Collins number 4 on your Mount Rushmore of dumb... Oh, dumb.
That ain't that dumb. Someday we're going to do it good.
Yes, it's that dumb.
All right, R.C., thank you. I'm glad that nobody was hurt. I don't care if the 2 cars burned up.
What about the...
You keep saying, what about the man that burned alive?
That was a dummy, Margaret. A dummy. A dummy. A crash test dummy. A dummy.
I understand that, but it looked like someone I know. All right? It looked like my brother Charlie. Okay? That's why I...
Okay, it looked like your brother Charlie. It wasn't Charlie.
Is Charlie made out of rubber? No. Is Charlie, you know...
Is he made out of rubber? No, but...
But what?
On a good day. On a good... If I... Charlie, I love to bits, but on a good day, maybe he doesn't look like he's... Maybe he doesn't look like he's made out of rubber.
What the hell is with your brother Charlie?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, Mr. Henry...
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, what are you yelling at me?
And all of that to prove that that kid belongs on the Mount Rushmore of dumb? Margaret, I got to tell you, I don't know where you get off complaining about that kid when you're weeping over a burned-up rubber dummy because it looks like your brother.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Psychologists tell us that when a dummy or a mannequin or what you want to call it, we imprint... Never mind.
You always say never mind. You never say it.
Because you idiots wouldn't understand in a month of Sundays.
What does that mean?
See?
No, we don't see. Why don't you explain it? Go ahead. What's the matter? Don't you have an explanation? Are you calling us dumb and that's your out? That's your way of getting out of explaining it?
All right, I'll explain it. Psychologists tell us that if there's a dummy in the room... Not in the room, but if you... If you store dummy...
If I store dummies, go ahead.
How dare you laugh at... You know something, forget it. I mean it, forget it.
In other words, Margaret, you don't have any real... You just had a weird moment where you cried over a burned-up dummy because it looked like your brother.
You see, you're trying to make me out to be Baby Jane. I know you are, Phil. I know you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You'd like to see me put away. You want to sign the papers on me?
Margaret, you're going crazy. Nobody ever said anything about that. Or anything.
Then why are your eyeballs shifting around?
Because I don't want to look at you. Every time you see I look at you, when I say something, you think it's all about it, having sex with it.
Sex with it?
Yeah, he's making a very good point. He's probably casting his eyes on the ground because that's the only place he feels he can safely look without you taking, you know, offense. No, I don't think you're Baby Jane.
What about that batty broad in... What about Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte?
What about what?
Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. What about it?
Talk about a crazy lady?
Yes, the crazy lady.
I never saw the movie.
What about, oh, Beautiful Mind? You think I'm like him? You think I'm looking up in the sky and I'm seeing all kinds of patterns and I'm making a weird-looking sweater out of the yarn that I'm pulling from one star to the next? Is that what you think, Mr. Henry?
No, but I think you need a vacation.
So you do think I'm battier than 3 coats of paint?
Yeah, after that conversation there, I'm beginning to have my suspicions. That's all right. You can tell me to go to hell.
Go to the devil.
Where's that?
All right, bud. I'll take it from here. Thank you very much, folks, for listening in on that little piece of whatever.
I thought it was instructive.
Yeah. Thank you very...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do you need help.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
you need help.
Is our
I don't
bitch.
Need any help.
The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Harvey Wireman is joining us here from Bradley Military Academy. Commandant Wireman has called R.C. Collins on the carpet after what happened today. Commandant, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here. The young man in question is Cadet Collins. Stand at attention, Cadet.
sir.
You heard the recording, as embarrassing as it was. That chopper, which is the R-41, the remote chopper that we use in the training of our cadet rangers. We don't do actual ranger training at this level, but we do show them what the chopper looks like when the rope goes out of it. And we will hover it over a mound of dirt.
And what does that do?
Well, to show them what it looks like, the helicopter with the rope hanging out of it, and the dirt. And then we'll have plastic. We use the replications, which are generally just the small plastic soldiers that you can't have them crawl down a rope because a plastic soldier is not able. It doesn't, you know.
It doesn't move.
Yes, sir. That's correct. So we'll just have them sitting there on the ground, and we'll go, see, that's what you look like. I'm sorry, hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
Well, I was just standing here.
I want you to get prepared to kiss the gunner's daughter.
No, sir, not that.
Yes, sir, that. See that cannon? See the cannon?
You mean the cannon?
Yes. Bend over that and get those pants down. Yeah, there you go. Just the way I like it. All right.
What does that mean?
Sounds very perverted.
It's not perverted. Take it easy. Well, you kiss the gunner's daughter, you lean over the replica cannon that we have here. It's a replica taken off of a replica of the USS Constitution, which was one of the big-time badass, you know, it fought against everybody, the Revolution, the World War, whatever war there was, and that's a cannon. It's just like the cannon that's on it.
And it came off a ship that was just like the Constitution.
Yeah, and it fought in a war that was just like the wars that only was a simulated.
Okay, so where are we going with this? What are we...
We'll get a load of you. How do you like that, Margaret, huh?
Yeah, Phil, take it easy, okay?
Where are we going with this? I'm the commandant here at Bradley Military Academy, sir, and I'm going to give discipline to this young cadet who almost set me on fire today. Is that all right with you?
Yes, of course, sir, because what he did was a very dangerous thing, but I just wondered, you were telling me about something else.
You asked me about the chopper that was used.
So this is used in cadet training?
Yes, sir. It's used in cadet training. The chopper hovers over the dirt, and then we set up plastic soldiers to show the students this is what you should look like once you come out of the chopper. Because we don't have plastic soldiers that hang from the rope, and we don't have any that look good inside the chopper. The only ones we have are the ones that are standing up down in the dirt. You understand?
Phil, even I get that.
Yes, I understand. I'm trying to figure out what the training value is of this, but I'm not the soldier.
Yeah, there you go. You said a mouthful right there. You're not the professional soldier. I am. All right, Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You are about to receive punishment because of the infraction of the Cadet Code 1-7, and that is in Article 4 of your Cadet Code, which says never expose your fellows, members of the civilian corps, or other members of the unit to undue danger through your ridiculous and silly things that you do. I'm sure it says something different, but I don't have the code in front of me. So, all right, you've already bent over the cannon and your pants are down. Okay. Here we go. One and two and... I didn't even hit you. Ha, ha, ha.
He always does this, Mr. Henry. It's torture.
That's kind of a psychological torture, yeah.
Oh, give me a break. This is... Let me tell you something about kissing the gunner's daughter. This is something that has been done in the United States Navy since the beginning. This is a very, very accepted form of discipline.
In the Navy?
Yes, sir.
You guys are an Army-style military academy.
Say that again?
You guys are in the Army, aren't you?
We lost the connection.
Yeah, get him back here. I'm sorry, Phil. Yeah. Yeah, it's back.
What did you say?
We lost the connection.
Yeah, you lost the connection. I think the phone was shocked. I was shocked. The telephone system fainted for a moment.
You are an Army military academy. You're using a Navy form of discipline, him kissing the gunner's daughter.
Son of a bitch, how about that?
Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that now for a long time.
Well, that's a horse of a different color. What am I going to do with the tape recording of me almost burning alive? Listen to this. This is good stuff. Yeah, did you hear that?
That's a lot more on the tape than I heard originally.
Well, we had it cleaned up. All right, Cadet Collins, get up off that cannon.
Yes, sir.
Since that's a Navy discipline, we'll have to find something they do in the Army. I know. We'll line you up at noon and shoot you.
Do that in the morning.
All right, then I'll wait.
You're not going to shoot the kid.
No, I guess not. Well, there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Well, it involves you keeping your pants off, and I'm going to have to call off my appointments for this evening. And,
No.
Yeah, no. What do you think of this? You see what I'm going to do here?
Uh-oh. Sounds to me like he's going to take advantage of the R.C. Collins.
Did you hear what that man said to him?
Yeah, I did, but I,
Well, do something. Anything.
You have to call him up. I'll call him up.
Call him back and tell him that I want to talk to him. Not on the air, though. Not on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Wireman? Colonel Wireman? Or Captain Wireman? Well, are you Wireman? You're not going to talk to me until I get your rank right? Is it Admiral Wireman?
Give me the phone. Harvey, it's Phil Hendry. General Wireman. Commandant. Okay, now I'm out of time. What are you doing to R.C.? He's serving you dinner in a loincloth, wearing boot black on his face, and you're pretending like you're the king of Tahiti.
Give me that phone. Commandant Wireman, this is Margaret Gray. What are you doing to that boy? He's walking around dressed as a girl.